31 seconds and we're going for auto sequence.
Our mission is to bring you an unbiased discussion on the technological development and application of unmanned aerial systems in our airspace. UAS Today.
Hey folks, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Michael Garrity. Please check us out at uas-today.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. We have an excellent show lined up for you today. I'm so excited about my guests that we're going to skip over current news and unmanned aerial systems and move straight to our interview. My guest today is Mr. Randy Scott Slavin. He is a director and the driving force behind the very first ever New York City Drone Film Festival. This Drone Film Festival will take place on March 7th at the Directors Guild of America Theater in Manhattan. Categories will include narrative, landscape, travel, architecture, and most epic drone film. The intent of the Drone Film Festival will be to bridge a gap between the public and the understanding of the unmanned aerial systems. We'll be right back after this.
Support and funding for this podcast has been made possible by the Vodnoy Group. The Vodnoy Group, supporting arts and culture through charitable donations.
My guest today is Mr. Randy Scott Slavin. Randy, thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Yeah, of course. Glad to be here.
Tell us about yourself. What's your background with filmmaking? How did you get interested in unmanned aerial systems?
I'll give you a really quick background about myself. I've been a director for 10 or 15 years. I've directed commercials, music videos, television, all kinds of things like that. I've always loved camera stuff. I've always carried them around. I've always just been interested in art, visual arts in general. I got into UAVs after watching Spike Jonze's skateboard movie called Pretty Sweet. And an unbelievably skilled drone pilot flew the opening to that film, this guy named Robert McIntosh. So I'm sitting there and watching this skateboard video, and it starts out with a shot that just blew my mind. It starts out with a close-up on this guy's face, and then it goes over his head, and then it goes over this, like, 12-foot gate, and then it goes down this corridor, and it turns, and the skateboard is going all around. And I was, like, literally sitting there with my jaw on the floor, and I was like, how the hell did they do this? And I watched the intro over and over and over again. And at one point, I like froze the video, and there was what looked like a flying camera. And I was like, what is that? And how do I do that? And, you know, pretty much since then, I've been addicted.
I would agree that an addiction to unmanned aerial systems is about as healthy of an addiction as someone can have. They're a lot of fun, and they can do some really amazing things. I believe I've seen the skateboarding video that you're talking about, and some of the footage that was captured on there was really amazing. What a lot of people don't think about when it comes to filmmaking is the evolution of filming and how people have used cameras in the past and how they were mounted to tripods or how they were mounted to tracks and how motion cameras recently have been attached to people. I believe they're called Steadicams. And now we have cameras that are free-flying with unmanned aerial systems, and the capabilities are really limitless.
No, agreed. I mean, I think that it's the next level, and it's here to stay. I mean, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they were like, do you think that flying UAVs for cinema is a fad? And I was like, no, it's not a fad. I mean, maybe people are just really excited about it right now because of the ubiquity of the technology, but the reality is it's a technology that just makes so much sense. And the technology is not a fad. The technology is here. It's like saying, was a tripod a fad? I mean, a tripod is a way of moving, of holding a camera, you know? This is just a tripod. It's just a new tripod. It just happens to be a tripod with wings, right?
No, I completely agree with you. I do not think that unmanned aerial systems for filming is a fad. I think if anything, we're only going to see the film industry come up with new ways to use unmanned aerial systems that we had not thought about previously. What type of unmanned aerial system do you own? What have you used?
You're a UAS guy, huh? I'm a drone guy personally, but I mean, I totally respect the UAS guys, the UAV guys. Like everybody's got their own shtick based on what they believe is best. By the way, just to say that we called it the Drone Film Festival because, you know, I'm kind of a little bit of a punk myself. I mean, you know, I've lived in New York City. I've always liked punk music. I spent years in a band, and you know, I like to take the stigma, embrace it, make it our own. You know, no lack of love for you UAS and UAV guys, but you know, just everybody has their own place to stand. The answer to what I fly is I fly anything that I can get my hands on. I currently own a few Phantoms. I own a QAV 400. That was my most recent build. I own an F900, and I own a fleet of little small kind of crash bang 'em up toys like the SEMA quad and the little SEMA and FDs, kind of like the mini ones, which I've some of my new favorite drones are those little guys because they're so much fun to play around with anywhere, and they're great practice, you know?
You know, unmanned aerial system, drone, remotely piloted vehicle, I personally think that it's one and the same. But we have had guests on the show in the past that were very insistent in calling them unmanned aerial systems because of the negative connotation that has been associated with the term drone.
No, look, I think it's funny when people are like, no, it has to be, you know, because I'll speak to some lawyers about it, you know, or some people that are more associated with the advocacy groups, and they want to call them UAV, UAS, because they're tiptoeing around it because drone is a dirty word. I don't think it's a dirty word. Otherwise, I would have called my film festival a New York City Aerial Film Festival or the New York City UAV Festival. That being said, I think, you know, when somebody throws around a negative term like that, you take it, you eat it up, and you shit it out as something that you like, you know? We're going to take this and we're going to turn it into something that is going to be a positive word. And then when you own it, then you really have the power. Otherwise, you're just kind of tiptoeing around, you know, people's perceptions, you know?
From a filmmaker's perspective, what challenges have you faced using an unmanned aerial system to shoot scenes in films?
I faced every challenge that you can imagine when it comes to drones. I mean, from, weather to camera issues to cards that are corrupted with amazing footage. That's the worst one. I hate that one because I have a fiery passion from hell. But when you get amazing shots and then all of a sudden you cut back and like your footage is nowhere to be seen, that sucks. You know, then there's like, you know, people talking to you while you're flying and concentrating, and you're like, that would bug me sometimes. You know, honestly, I've never ever had a problem with any police or anything like that. It's, you know, anytime I've ever been stopped by the police, they're just going to stand around and say, oh, that's really cool, I've never seen one of those, or I fly RC stuff too. I mean, you know, so on that side, I've never really had any problems, and I don't plan on really having any problems with that. I'm not the kind of guy to really thumb my nose at the police. You know, they're just doing their job, and I'm sure they'd rather be flying UAVs than bugging me. So, because I come from production, we're trained to deal with problems all the time. When you're dealing with production, you deal with a lot of people, a lot of attitude problems, you know, from dealing with stars and being late and weather and cameras working, not working, power, all kinds of things all the time. So I feel like my training is coming from production, you know, it's kind of made it easier for me to deal with all the things that I've dealt with UAVs, but, you know, I've dealt with it all like everybody else. But I still love it. I think it's amazing. It's fun and exciting. And, you know, every time I go out there, it is new and more fun things to do. You know, when you're flying on set and all of a sudden there's like a lot of clients around, that's a whole new thing that most people don't get to experience. When people are really watching and you have to pull off a shot that you've been discussing that, you know, okay, I'd love to do this. This would be really sexy. And then they say, okay, do it. You know, and it's up to you to perform, like, you know?
I think you're right. I think that for the most part, law enforcement recognizes that as long as you are not endangering lives, property, or violating somebody's privacy, I don't think they really care how people are using them or what they're using them for, as long as they're being responsible with it. We've had the opportunity to have police officers on the show who have used them and enjoy using them, and they are welcoming their integration into the various roles that law enforcement carry out.
The funniest thing about drones is that you can be speaking normally, like speaking because of my position, I'm speaking to people all the time about drones. And like once in a while, I'll be talking to somebody at a party and they'll be like, oh, you know, they're so bad for spying and for so dangerous for this, that, and the other, and they can fall and hit people. But it's like the funny part is when you're out flying and you look at the drone, you know, it's like I've been flying my QAV 400 a lot recently because it's my recent build. And, you know, it's like it looks like a little toy. You know what I'm saying? People are so like the stigma has grown so large. This like drone monster has grown so large that people's thoughts about what they are have just like, you know, it's gotten out of control. You know, when you look at it, when you look at a Phantom, it's like a flying iPod. You know what I'm saying? It's the most innocuous looking little thing you've ever seen, you know? So the idea of being stopped by the police when you're doing something like that, I mean, unless you're doing something really stupid or endangering people's health, like, what's the problem? Once you get to the big cinema drones, you talk about a different story, honestly, because those have real, you know, blades that can really do some damage, and they're big and they're heavy and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think people need to be flying responsibly and smart, and then we won't have these kind of issues, you know?
I think what really started this negative outcry by the public about the commercialization of unmanned aerial systems was Rand Paul's filibuster in March of 2013, when he spoke about the use of drones to kill people like Jane Fonda while she was sitting in a cafe in New York. I think that the media, and when I say the media, I mean newspapers, magazines, broadcast journalism, all sources of media, once they got a hold of this idea, they ran with it, and I think it has done a real disservice to the use of unmanned aerial systems. I think that what people need to realize is that there are so many benefits to the use of unmanned aerial systems that we should not be so quick to dismiss them. There are very dangerous jobs out there that people are currently doing in inspecting bridges, wind turbines, remote locations, Antarctica and Alaska, where research studies are attempting to be done, where unmanned aerial systems could reduce the probability that somebody's going to be hurt by using this technology. So I don't think we should be so quick to dismiss it. Tell us a little bit about your staff and the support it has taken to make this film festival a reality.
Well, you know, I have very little staff. I mean, it's really been myself, my producer, Tim Jackson, who comes from Tribeca Film Festival, Hanson Film Festival, and a bunch of others. And my PR guy, John Capel. I mean, like, John is amazing and has been getting us a tremendous amount of press. And, you know, it's really just been the three of us, you know, the three of us have just been pounding the pavement. I mean, I've been working tirelessly on this project. And then at a certain point, I was like, you know what, it's time to bring a couple more people on, you know, Kim, I brought on because, you know, truthfully, as a director, I never really negotiated sponsorships with major manufacturers, you know, and I needed somebody that I could really speak to about that and could help me really figure out how the event is going to work out so that it works out seamlessly and it's the quality of event that I'm looking to put on. John reached out to me after reading about me in the New York Magazine cover story on drones. You know, and he was kind of just like interested in what I was doing with that. And he's like, you know, hey, what are you up to? And I met with him. He lives in New York. So we just met up. And, you know, he expected also that the team was huge. But like literally, I was like, okay, if you're interested in doing this, let's meet up and talk about it because he thought that I already had somebody working on it, but I didn't. You know, look, I think that there's nothing that can't be done in this world if you have the laser focus. You know, I believe in this project since the beginning. And I've really just tried to make this like imagination that I had about what this event could be. And every day I like get on the phone. I can't tell you. I've emailed every single manufacturer of drones in the entire world, you know? And most of them don't get back to me. And most of them, you know, I never hear anything from. And I've heard a lot of no's. But the reality is that, you know, I always felt from the beginning, I could do this thing at a small pay theater with a bunch of drone enthusiasts that cost no money at all. Or if people are interested, I can do this thing in a huge theater that's going to have a great, you know, huge real theater with a bunch of amazing films and have huge sponsors and give away a lot of drones and all. And that was my big picture imagination. And, you know, and thankfully the interest has been really great, you know. And I remember one day when I got a call from Russell Brown from Adobe. And when he called me up, I was like, I remember saying to my wife after, I was like, I think this thing is actually real, you know, because I hadn't reached out to Adobe. Adobe found out about us somehow. Russell's a really creative guy. He's out around on the blogosphere digging around, and somehow he found out about us. And when he called me, I was like, okay, this is real. You know, Adobe wants to be a sponsor. You know, it's on. You know, in a way, it kind of like my name was now attached to this thing. And once I realized that it had grown beyond this tiny little idea, that it was now going to be held to my highest level of expectation. You know, next week we're going to announce all the sponsors, at least all the sponsors thus far, you know, and we have some of the biggest manufacturers in the world, and we're going to be giving away huge drone systems, like real deal drone systems, big ones, the ones that you see on the web and on all the videos, and your mouth waters when you see them. Those are the ones we're going to be giving away to the winners, you know, because I want this to be something that as soon as this festival happens, I want all the drone operators in the world to see this and to see the prizes that we're giving away and to see hopefully the reputation that the winners have won and say, I want that next year. And they immediately go out and start shooting their thing, whatever their thing may be, whether their thing is shooting the most difficult technical shot or whether their thing is shooting the best narrative story or whether their thing is shooting the best architectural film or, you know, any of the categories, you know, everybody sits in their own spot and has own prize that they want to go for. But I'm hoping that this is going to be the proving ground for the pilots, you know, that this is going to be the place where, you know, let's say the way that directors submit their films to Sundance and Cannes and Berlin for feature films, that this is going to be the place where drone pilots put their work because they know that they're going to get recognized. They know that they're going to get more drone work because this is the place, because they won the award.
I'm listening to you speak about the Drone Film Festival. And I have to tell you, I really admire your passion for it, what I'm hearing in your voice right now. I think that a lot of people could have gone into this and saw it as nothing more than a way to make money or gain publicity. But your heart is definitely in the right place. Let's talk about the film festival itself. What categories are there for film submissions at your festival?
Okay, so the categories are narrative, which is anything with a story, landscape / travel, showreel, FPV / proximity / technical flying, architecture, X Factor, droney, and then there's going to be a Best in Show and an Audience Choice Award. Best in Show is going to be literally of all the films. It doesn't have to be the winners. It's just going to be the actual Best in Show based on the judges, and it's interdisciplinary. To give you a little bit of background on each category, or in general, just, I mean, you know, narrative just kind of makes sense. Landscape / travel was obviously the biggest category that there was. I mean, most submissions came into that, mostly because, you know, a lot of people are using this technology. It makes the most sense for landscape and travel. You know, people take it on their trip to Thailand. They take it on their trip here. They take it on their trip there to Bali. You know, they just get this amazing footage, and that was the lion's share of submissions was to that. And it's going to be really hard to pick winners because they're so amazing. Showreels, I mean, have come in from around the world, just absolutely mind-blowing showreels. I mean, people have just been, the work they've been doing and action sports and cars. I mean, like, some of the most thrilling videos actually came into the showreel category. And the showreels are really just like a collection of all different types of footage. Just FPV / proximity / technical flying is exactly what it speaks to. I know it's a mouthful, but ultimately that's like that's the pilot showcase category. It's the best pilots in the world doing their best, you know? And I mean, a couple of pilots that I can mention off the bat are Robert McIntosh. He is, you know, one of the best pilots out there. Unbelievable, unbelievably cinematic. He has submitted Team Lumineers, Sharpu. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal pilot. You know, I mean, these guys are amazing. And this particular category is crazy. It's just, people are going to be blown away when they see this category, especially the real drone flyers. All the pilots out there, they're just going to love this category because it's just like the auteurs of this festival. Architecture is a no-brainer. It's similar to landscape and travel, but architecture is purely just focused on architectural elements. X Factor, you know, that one's another crazy one. You know, it's all of the things that didn't really fit into a category, but were interesting and amazing in their own right. You know, I mean, that's where you get those kind of films where it's like somebody flies into a volcano, or the, you know, the fireworks submissions, or, you know, like whale watching. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy things in that X Factor category. It's going to be a very difficult one to judge. And then Droney, there's been some unbelievable submissions for Droneys. I mean, like, you know, the crazy part about all these categories, because I've had the opportunity to see all these films at this point, is that, like, some of these films that people have submitted are just, like, mind-blowing, next-level, like, blow-the-category-out-of-the-water style, you know? And what's exciting about that is that people have this definition, oh, this is what this is, this is what this is, this is what a landscape is, this is what a drone is. But then when they see these films, it's like, I can't even imagine how these are going to inspire people next year, you know? Because once they blow that category apart, people are going to have a whole new kind of like level at which they're going to participate. So that's what's going on with the categories.
These categories sound really exciting. The deadline for submitting films for consideration has closed. What ways have you seen filmmakers be creative and use unmanned aerial systems in new ways and inventive ways that you have not seen from filmmakers before?
You know what? Honestly, I can't tip my hat like that. You have to come there and see it. I mean, it's the way, you know, I think the most interesting thing is just the way people fly. You know, it's like, I think a lot of the films that you see online that wind up going viral are because they're interesting topics. You know what I'm saying? You'll see something, you know, a fire, or you'll see somebody that shoots dolphins, or you see somebody that shoots fireworks. And, you know, that's really interesting. I personally think that some of the most standout work that's really going to take people by surprise is what the pilots are doing. There's just some submissions that just, you know, are just really very obviously the next level in what this aerial cinematography can be and will be. And that to me is what is going to be really interesting about this.
Some of the filmmakers you're talking about sound like people will need to watch out for in the future with what they're doing with unmanned aerial systems. I'm glad you're not revealing too much about these films, though I can tell by the tone in your voice that there are going to be some really good ones, and I'm sure that people can't wait to see them. What are you hoping that people take away from this film festival?
I want the New York City Drone Film Festival to be a few things. More than anything else, I want it to be the place where drone pilots and drone cinematographers come and to show the best work in the world and to see and be seen by not only the industry, but by the press and the film industry. I want it to be the place where when the next Bond movie is about to shoot, they go to the winners of the New York City Drone Film Festival to find who they want and what kind of style pilot they want to shoot the shot that they're looking for. That is ultimately what I really want. I also want it to be an olive branch between legislation makers and filmmakers. I think we can all play nicely together. There's no reason why there has to be animosity or weirdness. I mean, hopefully it can be a place where we can all come to the table and say, hey, look, this is what the art is. Let's respect what the art is, but let's also respect what legislation needs to happen in order to make this safe for everybody. And that's it. I mean, I want it to be entertaining also, just on a very, like, basic, shallow note. I want it to be ultimately extremely entertaining for people that come and see the screening. You know, I mean, it should be better than going to see a movie.
I hope that the FAA watches some of these videos and they see that not everyone that uses unmanned aerial systems is doing so in a reckless manner. Where people's lives are in danger, property's in danger, and that privacy is automatically violated. And I hope that the FAA will see that the general public is capable of handling this technology responsibly. And in turn, it will encourage them to be a little bit more lenient when it comes to granting companies, research groups, and filmmakers certificates of airworthiness so that they can continue to make films.
This is going to be the best drone pilots and best drone cinematography in the world. I think it's going to be a great example for the FAA of what's going on. And, you know, conversely, I don't think that any of the people that are involved with this festival, any of the submissions, any of them any of them, there were 150 missions from around the world, that any of these people are really the people that are to be worried about when it comes to being dangerous to others. You know, a couple of times there were some missions where they were around people that, you know, I didn't think it was the smartest thing to do to fly over people or something like that in that kind of way. But I think the bigger problem, honestly, is some hobbyists that are beginners that don't know how to control them or don't know the rules or are flying recklessly. I think that's not going to be the professionals. The FAA doesn't have to worry about the professionals because, honestly, I am, you know, as somebody who is petitioning the FAA right now for an exemption for my drone company, I'd be the last person in the world to do anything stupid because I don't want to jeopardize my ability to make a living flying drones. So really, actually, the only people you really have to worry about are those that don't have commercial, you know, desires, because people that have commercial desires have the most to lose by drones being outlawed in some capacity, right?
I think you touch on a really good point. And that's that you have professionals with experience who are operating these unmanned aerial systems and that they know what they are doing and how to operate them in a safe manner. I think it's important that we keep this in mind when we are discussing the integration of the unmanned aerial system into our national airspace and that it is professionals who will be operating them for commercial research and filming purposes. Switching back to the film festival, there are many film festivals that take place every year. The Cannes Film Festival, the Berlin Film Festival, Tribeca. The majority of the filmmakers who submit films to these festivals range from relatively well-known to very well-known. You don't see a lot of submissions by unknown filmmakers. Unmanned aerial system technology being used in films is a relatively new genre or style of filming. How well known are the filmmakers who have submitted films to your festival?
You know, first of all, there are a bunch of submissions from big film companies, but they come from Europe. Those submissions are outstanding. They're really, I mean, like, a lot of these companies from Europe have been using heavy lifters, what seems like for a long time, if I can just tell from the maturity of their flying and what they're showing me. I don't know. I haven't asked them because I'm not telling anybody who's in the festival at this point. But from what I see, they seem like mature flyers. You know, I mean, I think, you know, what happens in the United States is going to be one portion of it. I think that as the FAA becomes more clear, more exemptions are given out, more people are getting into it, more companies are getting into it more. I think we're going to see more of everything. I think we're going to probably see, in the same way that you do with any other kind of film, the independent film and big Hollywood film, you know, I think that we'll see submissions all across the board, you know, and I don't think that necessarily the people that have the most money are going to win this kind of thing. You know, I think it really depends on the category, and I think it really depends on the skill of the pilot. It's really apparent, you know, as with any other art, artistic merit is not based on money, you know, it's based on experience and skill and talent and a whole bunch of other things like that. So, look, I hope that everybody gets into it. I hope that when my company gets my exemption, that I can be shooting for television and movies and commercials and also be doing a bunch of art projects that I already have in mind that I want to do with drones. And I hope that small pilots can come up through the ranks. There's a kid right now that's 9 years old that just got his first Blade or Phantom or something like that, who in 5 years from now can prove to be, you know, the most unbelievable pilot, at which point he'll be taken under the wing of some kind of company that will enable him to fly bigger and more expensive drones. You know, I mean, I think right now we're in this very early incubation period where, you know, it's like, who knows what the future is going to be, but I think the future is going to be bright for everybody. And I think that, you know, the company size at this point, you know, it's not that relevant. And I hope that everybody gets into it because, you know, the big production budgets have great things to offer also, you know, just like you see in feature films. When drones are being used in more feature film, you'll see more ambitious shots being designed. And that's exciting. I hope to be the kind of pilot that is flying those really ambitious shots, because for me personally as a pilot, and none of my work is in the festival, I've taken myself out of it because it's not fair. You know, when I think about being a drone pilot, I'm inspired by all of this stuff, you know, and I hope that for my company that what I'd like to be doing is the most creative shots that there are. You know, I want to work with a production company to design the most epic and exciting shots. And how do we do that? What do? And plan it and really just fly amazing shots. So, you know, I think it's all exciting. It's all great possibilities. And right now it's like, it's a big question mark because it's not even legal at this point.
You brought up two really good points while you were speaking just now, and I'd like to highlight them. First, you talked about foreign film companies who have submitted films to the Drone Film Festival. I think it's important for our audience to know that while the use of unmanned aerial systems by companies, research groups, and hobbyists has been restricted by the FAA in our national airspace, it is not restricted in other countries like Germany, Europe, Australia, China, or Japan. And they have been using them for years. I think it's great that we will see submissions from film companies in these countries. If anything else, just to show American filmmakers what unmanned aerial systems are capable of. The second point you brought up was art. Earlier you said, artistic merit is not based on money. I think that some of the most innovative things we have seen, especially from an artistic perspective, have come from people that were not relatively known and did not have a lot of money. Randy, we're out of time today on the show, but I want to thank you for being a guest, and I want to wish you the best of luck with the film festival. Based on our conversation today, I know that you're going to have an amazing turnout. As soon as we get off our phone today, I'm going to be in touch with Mr. Campo about getting a press pass so that I can come up and see this. I'm really excited about it, and I know that all my listeners are going to be excited about it as well.
Awesome. I look forward to meeting you in person, and I'm excited to hear your thoughts and to have you involved. I mean, I want the audience to be UAV fans and fanatics, because honestly, it's going to be better for everybody that the audience is full of people that are really into this. There's going to be a lot of press there for sure, and a lot of people that are interested and have gotten into it, or people from the media that have interests in various ways. But, you know, it's like, I really hope that, you know, the majority of the people there are going to be the real UAV fans, the real drone pilots and all that kind of stuff. And my next challenge is going to be after making sure that we have so many amazing prizes that everybody's going to want to be there. We're going to raffle off a lot of amazing products, by the way, to the audience. Is that we have all the filmmakers there, as many as possible, to be in the room with us and to be so we can talk to them, so we can have them, you know, just in the present. I think that's going to be the next.
The views and opinions expressed on our podcast are those of the authors, producers, and our guests. They do not automatically reflect
again,
the views
Randy,
or opinions
so
of any organization or
take
government
care.
Agency that are guests on our podcast, nor do they reflect the official policy or position of any U.S. government agency. If you have information that you would like to have discussed on our show or would like to be a guest on our show, please contact us on our website, uas-today.com, or email us at podcast@uas-today.com. Thanks for listening.